Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Nobody here has ever walked on water? But it feels like it, doesn't it, sometimes? Is that that's the only way that we're going to get to the place that God has called us to. David is writing the epilogue, I guess is what you would call it. He's just kind of condensing how he feels about where he's been and how good God has been to him in his life. It's recorded in the Psalms and also in 2 Samuel, but we read out of Psalm 18 and 30, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is my buckler. He is a buckler to all that trust him. For who is God save our Lord? Or who is a rock save our God?" And then he goes on to say, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hind's feet and setteth me upon the high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms." But I want you to notice what he says next, because my personality is type A. I'm not sure what all of your personalities are, but type A is let's take charge, let's get it done, let's go. And so in my understanding or in my feeling and the way that I sense the power of God, it was, "God, just let me smash the enemy. Let me knock him out. Just give me that bow that I can break that's made out of steel. Make me strong and triumphant and aggressive." But verse number 35 takes a turn and David says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed." One translation says, "until they were utterly consumed or completely defeated." Another place, David says, they were crushed like powder in the street. A shepherd lad was taking care of his father's flock in the field, likely spending days and nights in solitude, hearing the sounds and being so aware that there were lions and that there were bears. He fought off wild animals, and sometime, I don't know if it was in the middle of the night, to comfort himself, he began to sing and he began to write psalms or songs of praise unto him. And I can only find two psalms that were written by David where when he started negative, he did not end positive. He was always on the up. By the time he got his thoughts, his mind, his eyes on God and began to sing about him, everything began to get better. His older brothers were sent off to war, but he was left alone to tend the sheep. He was not considered old enough for battle, nor maybe brawny enough. The task of taking provision to his brothers was given to him, not only to his brothers, but their captain. He arrives with the bread and the cheese and the wine, and he sees a stalemate. It's quiet in the camp, and then about mid-morning, he hears the challenge of Goliath. "Send out a man to fight me, and if he defeats me, we will be your servants. But if I defeat him, you will be our servants." And so David looks around and he asks the question, "Is there not a cause?" He is ridiculed by his brothers and some of the others around him. They just say, shut up and go home, you smart aleck. But he realizes, and you've got to take this in context, the whole purpose of God coming and having a covenant was also attached to a sign or a symbol. It was circumcision. Just like New Testament circumcision is baptism into the name of Jesus Christ. Not the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision made without hands of the heart. Paul the apostle writes about this. And so as David looks at him, he says, he's an uncircumcised Philistine. He's not one of us. He's not in covenant with God. But I am. We're the armies of the living God. We're in covenant with God. And so in his mind, he's thinking, it doesn't matter how big, how brawny, how old, how long you've been fighting. And in fact, when he goes to Saul, we find out, he says, he's been fighting since you before you were born. It doesn't matter. What David sees is he is a child of covenant, and that enemy is not. If you and I could begin to understand that we are children of the Most High God, we have the name of Jesus applied to our lives, and if we do, we have entered into covenant with him. And his covenant was, I'll take your sins away. I'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. I'll put them behind my back. I'll stuff them in the bag and weight it down and send it to the bottom of the sea. And when you come out of that water, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so what we were doesn't matter, but who we are really does matter, because who we are determines where we can go. And David understood who he was. And so he is taken to Saul, and Saul's incredulous when this young boy who doesn't even shave yet appears before him. And David gives his testimony of killing the lion and the bear. And we heard about this when Brother Green was here and others that preached. Our testimony is the most important thing that we have outside of the Word of God. What God has done for us and through us. Saul tries to outfit David with all of his armor. And we know the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above everybody, all the full-grown men. And now he's got a teenage boy that's just starting to grow. It just doesn't fit. David tells him that he will take the weapons that he has proved. And he goes to face Goliath. And I want us to notice he doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have a shield. But he has the weapon that he's proven, which is the sling and 5 smooth stones. And Goliath comes against him and says, I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. In other words, you're going to die. But David comes in the name of the Lord. David picked up small stones from the brook for his sling, but God placed large stones under his feet. I want to just make it known to you and I that David understood that what he was doing, he was just not doing by himself. Sometimes we come to a broken life. We come to a crossing in life, and it's getting to the other side that is important to us. And so we throw our little stepping stone out there, and we say, I can get here, and I, oh no. No, I can't get there, so, oh, there. I need to be there. That's where God has called me. I've got to get across this chasm so I can get to the waters of baptism, or I can get to that place of victory in our life. And we just can only get so far. And I don't know if you've had it happen in your life. You get to a certain place in your relationship with God and you say, that's as far as I can get. And we go back and then we stand on solid ground. And when a challenge comes, we walk out again and we go, we had a Sunday night faith, but no Monday morning, but we got a little more on Sunday. And so we go, oh yeah, we're stretching it now. middle of the week, we're only so far down the road, and we can only reach so far with our own abilities, and we're placing our own stepping stones. One of the struggles I've had in my life is I feel faith in the house of the Lord, and I feel His Spirit moving on me, and faith rises up, and I'm taking giant steps. It's not Mother May I, I'm just going to do it, and I'm not going to take baby steps, but I'm just like, hoo-hoo, it's Sunday night. And by Tuesday or Wednesday, we're back to solid ground. We're back in that place of safety where we feel we can operate and everything's going to be all right. And occasionally, we have a prayer meeting or a good worship service, or we go to camp meeting, and we get all wet going back and forth because we just can't do it on our own. But David says, He has enlarged my steps under me. Brother Eli and brother, if you can just show us what that means, you can just put that big stepping stone. Yeah, I like that. Just a little further, man. See, I can just walk like that. Oh, that's no problem. And it's like we pray and we say, God, I can't do this. It's not just the energy I got on Sunday night, but look, hey, You enlarged my steps under me. Wow, God, this is great. It's no problem. You know what Saul's problem was? Saul had put his own stepping stones there. He'd lost sight of the God that he was called to serve and the purpose he had in leading the children of Israel. And he was doing it all on his own. And so he was in a stalemate. Thank you, gentlemen. That's good. He was in a stalemate and he was in a quandary. And the big dude was hiding in the tent. But a little guy is out there and he says, I didn't put the stepping stones down. God says, go there, and He's going to walk out just like the guy we saw on the video. How'd He do that? We know it's trickery on the video, but in life, it's God is enlarging the steps under you and me. You and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. It's not about how far we can reach. It's where God puts the stepping stones in your life and in mine. In 1 Samuel 17, it says this about David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Oh, Saul was paralyzed. His three older brothers were in fear and trepidation. But David knew he wasn't just walking on his own stepping stones and he could just casually walk out there. But oh, how far can you run? I reached the goal. I can get to higher ground. I can go to that next level in Christ Jesus. Why? Because He's put in the place of my feet under my feet. And so he takes that stone out of his bag and whirls it around in the sling, and it finds its mark in the forehead of David and Goliath. And the Bible says he falls on his face, but he's not dead yet. And something that was brought to my attention recently is David went out to battle against the enemy knowing he didn't have the provision in his hand to kill him. He knew what he had in his hand, that he could knock him out. You and I must learn to not rely on just our own capability. God says He sees a cause. He says, I am the Lord's. I'm a child of covenant. He's not a child of covenant. I'll just go out there and face Him because that's what God has called us to do. Church, we were built for war. We were built for spiritual battle. We weren't built for ease. We weren't built for laziness. We weren't weren't built just to heap to us the blessings of God in this lifetime. And it doesn't matter whether they're physical blessings, material blessings. It doesn't matter. It's all going to burn anyway. But if we lay up treasures in heaven, moth and rust don't corrupt. Thieves don't break through and steal. And we're not just talking about your money, but your faith and the works that you're doing. God says, hey, he's not going to forget a cup of cold water that was given in his name. And there will be a reward. And so David, with just a sling, he knocks him down. And then in verse number 51, it says, therefore David ran. The enemy's standing still, but David's running. We can get there quick if we wait for God. Yes, I'm going to run right in, Brother Michael. I want you to stand right here on the top step for me. Is that we can get where God wants us to go, because it's not about where we put our stepping stones, how far we can throw them, but it's where God places them. He has enlarged my steps under me, and that's literally what the Hebrew means. He's put bigger places to walk on. I am so glad that God is in charge. And when David got there, he didn't have a sword. Oh yeah, he did, because that ugly old guy's laying on his face, and David pulls the sword out of his sheath. I don't know how big it was. This guy's as tall as that ceiling over there, maybe 6 inches shorter if you take the minimum height, and the maximum is 6 inches taller than that ceiling over there. He's a dude. He's big. He falls on the ground, and David pulls his sword out. Now, if it would have been David Hansen, he would have turned the guy's head around and gone, get a look at this. And all he'd have to do is just drop that sword. And the weight of that sword sliced through that guy's neck. And the Bible says he picked up his head and he waved it to the Philistines and he waved it to Israel. And the Bible says that the Philistines ran because they didn't want to be servants. They said, oh, no, no. He said we'd be your servants, but he's dead now. So that contract's gone. We're out of there. And the children of God chased them. Oh, David was sent to battle by his father, and he was drawn into conflict by his confidence in who Israel was and who he was. He was thrust into the spotlight because of his faith in the Lord. And then he was conscripted by Saul, and David was commanded to move into the palace. And when they walked back into the city a few days later in 1 Samuel 18 and 7, it says, so the women sang and they danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And David gets hacked off. And the Bible says he was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Be careful, folks. However God wants to use your brothers and sisters, you rejoice with them. You joy in what God has done. It's not who testifies to them. It's not who baptizes them. It's not who's with them when they pray through to the Holy Ghost. It's not about who brought them to church or who didn't. It's all one. We're the body of Christ, and we can't do it without each other. Saul got jealous, but David was just doing what he could when he did. Could by the Lord. Saul was looking where he could reach, but David was believing where God could take him. So David moves in to the palace compound. Michael is given to him as a wife. Psalm 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants for begging for bread. I know you're taking notes, Melina. Can you come here for a minute? Please, quick, come to Papa. Can you jump to that stone, that small one? Jump. Hit it. Jump to the next one. The next one. Now that one way over there. Go ahead. Go ahead. Get it. Okay, let's try again. Give it all you got. Go ahead. Oh, thank you. You see what I'm saying? We're like Melina. We're trying to get there, and we can't. But if God's holding our hand, it's like having a little child, and God just goes, oop. Remember when your daddy used to do that, and you couldn't keep up with his footsteps, but he'd carry you along, and he'd just lift you up, and wherever he went, that's where you went, because he was holding you by his hand. I love the way this reads in two other translations. The Amplified says, the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way, and he busies himself with his every step. Psalm in the New Living says, the steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will not fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Oh, I thank God for the sure steps that he has given me through faith in his name and in his word. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to stumble, but guess what? I'm also going to get to where I have to go. And this is the cool thing. We take that step and we go here, and sometimes we can leap. Oh, why? Because God has made it easier than it ever could have been if we did it by ourselves. That's why we hear testimonies of you and me. We came and surrendered to God. We were stumbling. We were falling. We were bumbling through life. We were having missteps. But the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Thank God for his stepping stones, because God was enlarging David's steps. When he chased down the lion and the bear, he did not stumble and fall. You try to catch a lion. The last person that I saw that tried to do that got arrested because they were in the pen with them in the zoo. But God was enlarging David's step when he walked into the valley of Elah to face Goliath. David did not falter because God was enlarging his steps. He stepped across the brook to challenge Goliath and did not hesitate or fall. When he saw Goliath, he did not timidly creep up, but he ran as fast as he could. Oh yeah? Want some? Here I am, dude. And he's shocked. Did you send out a dog to fight me? But oh, there's confidence in the heart of David, because he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. My daddy sent me here, and my brothers think it's a mistake, but my father doesn't make a mistake. And if my father sent me here, I can do it. I can accomplish the task. If you are following your father, if you are listening to his voice, if you are obedient to his word, I know you're in some dark places. I know there's been some tough things that have happened recently, but the steps of a good man are ordered. God has them placed. It's not helter skelter. He's going to put the next one, and you might want to go over here, and God's saying, no, little to the right. I found my footing in him, and we make continual progress because we're ordered by the Lord. When Goliath stood still, David ran to meet the challenge. While Goliath lay injured on the field, David ran to finish the job. And when the Philistines were paralyzed with fear, David ran, and Israel's soldiers ran after them. And the chase started in Israeli territory, but it ended in Philistine territory, because God was in enlarging their steps. We cannot, we must not, we shall not fear the future. We will not worry. Yes, there will be giants on the field. It's almost like there's been a standstill for the last 18 to 20 months, somewhat, so to speak, and the enemy's been challenges. And I'm not saying COVID is the enemy, but anybody suffered with some fear or some self-doubt or some kind of like that, or maybe even doubted God just a little bit once every day, And you said, I don't know. God, what are you doing? How is this going to happen? I'm thankful for the Old Testament scripture where it says, and there was a darkness that could be felt in the houses of the Egyptians, but there was light in the dwelling of the Israelites. It doesn't say the sun was shining on their part of the country. It says there was light in the dwelling of the Hebrews. I am so glad there's light in the evening time. You know what the light comes through the waterway, baptism in Jesus' name. The Bible says there will be light in the evening time through the waterway, and the waterway is going to be the greatest gateway to revival. There are thousands of men and women out there that have been baptized, but they have not been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is sending them this way. We're going to find them, and they're going to embrace the name of Jesus, because that's the covenant. Is baptism into the name of Jesus. The words that David would write years later ring with truth in my heart from Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, in this will I be confident. What? That the Lord is my light and my salvation. Because God was enlarging his steps when he commanded the armies of Saul, David defeated his enemies again and again and never had one loss. Because God was enlarging the steps of David, when Saul thrust a spear at him, David was able to elude the tip of the spear more than once, because God was enlarging David's step. And as I was listening to that again online, I was listening to the scripture as well as reading the scripture a couple weeks ago as I was preparing this sermon. The Bible says he sat with his spear in his hand. He was so paranoid that David was going to take the throne, and David was in his house, that he kept his spear in his hand while he was sitting on the throne. He knew that he felt like the only thing that was going to keep him there is his own power. But God was showing him, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he'd throw that spear, and the spirit that was in David, boom, and his steps were ordered. Because God was enlarging steps. When Saul threatened to kill him, Jonathan, his brother-in-law, and Michael, his wife, were there to help him escape. Because God was enlarging David's steps. When Saul was pursuing him in the wilderness, David did not stumble or fall. And he did not succumb to the desire to slay Saul or touch God's anointed. Because God was enlarging the steps of David when he pursued the Amalekites to recover his family and his goods that were stolen from the city of Ziklag, David was able to make large strides and overtake them. They were walking along, but David was going as fast as he could. Somehow God put him into hyperdrive, and he took him where he needed to be. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Yes, I need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost living and dwelling inside of you. God was enlarging David's step. And so when he set out after 7 years of being king in Hebron to capture Jerusalem, David was completely able to eliminate his enemies, because God was enlarging the steps of David. When he went out to battle, David repeatedly increased the territory of Israel, because God was enlarging his steps. When the ark was brought back into Jerusalem, David was able to dance and shout before God without stumbling, because God was placing stepping stones under his feet. And if you'd stand with me, I just want to say again, even when his son rose up against him, Absalom, to slay him, and he headed out of Jerusalem, God enlarged his steps and took him away to a place of safety until Joab could take care of Absalom, that was swinging in the tree by his hair. And then the word came back, and David walked back to the place of authority that God had given him. Newsflash, you're going to face predators. Hello? We need to quit whining. Or as the southern term is, quit being a whinababy. Exactly. I've found myself there sometimes. God. No, you're not going to want to shake my hand, are you? Maybe I should do that with my left. I learned that from somebody. You got to stick your finger and your thumb in. Sometimes we look at life and we go, oh God. I only have two cars. I'm not going to have enough to retire till I'm 58. I'm going to have to work till I'm 62. I know how that feels. Surprise. Opportunities will arise in your spiritual walk to face giants. Do you know what that means? That means you're in their territory. You know what that means? That territory can support giants. You want a bigger house in God? Go fight a giant. You'll have a king-size bed. Not a California king, a Goliath king. Do you want more room in your life? Go take the mountain like Caleb took the mountain at 85 years old. He was still a stud. Why? Because he had believed God 40 years earlier, 45 years earlier. And this is the wild thing about Caleb. He had 45 years earlier come back after that first foray into Canaan's land. And he says, hey, we're well able to go up and take the land. Let's just go up at once and possess it. They wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua and appoint their own new leader and go back to Egypt. And then God says, fine, you want to die in the wilderness? You're going to die. And they said, we changed our mind. And they voted some new leadership. And God said, oh, no, you're not going in. If you go in, you're on your own. So when the opportunity comes, let's go. I want to tell you something, church. Is I have been praying for 17 years probably. Do you know there used to be an apostolic church of over 750 people here in Portland? Some of you don't know that. And it got destroyed by false doctrine and carnality. But we've had some of those people walking into this church house lately. And saying, I'm ready to teach Bible studies. I'm ready to baptize people in Jesus' name. I've been praying for 17 years. Me and Brother Jameson have. Some of you remember Jameson because he lived two blocks from there. And now he goes to the Apostolic Worship Center. That God would give back the years that the cankerworm and the locust and the palmer worm and the caterpillar have eaten up. Do you know that that's what the preacher preached on Friday night? And I was standing at the altar and somebody that I didn't know who it was at the time came up and laid hands on me. And said, God's going to start giving back the years that the cankerworm and the locust and the palmer worm and the caterpillar have eaten up in Portland. And he prophesied over me. I am so thankful that God's about ready to do a great work, a big work. He's going to bring the backsliders back. He's going to bring the wayward back. And when the wayward are established, then God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And we're going to have Bible study teachers galore. And we're going to have plenty of Sunday school teachers, and we're going to have plenty of people to man everything that we need, and plenty of people to go on outreach on the third Sunday of the month or Saturday of the month. Shockingly, occasionally at times you will be sent into the battlefield to bring support to others and find yourself in the middle of their battle. But here's the deal. That one can put 1,000, But as soon as you walk up, 10,000. Yeah. It's not my words. That's His words. That's the New Testament promise to you and I. Okay, shockingly, others may become jealous of God's power working in and through you, but you've got to back off and let God take care of them, and you just take care of the business that God gives you. Those who may lead you and should be rejoicing in your victories may seek to silence or destroy your influence, but God is enlarging your steps under you. Don't you worry. They may kick that stepping stone away. They may move that one to the side. They may pick that one up and throw it. And there's no way if you're relying on your own stepping stones. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. At times you may need to flee for your life. Bewilderingly, at times you will need to pursue the enemy who has taken your family and all that is precious to you. Pray and pursue because God is with you. Oh, newsflash. You may have to walk away when others try to take you out of the kingdom. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, you will surely be pursued by the one with the evil spirit. I was talking to a missionary about a year and a half ago and said that some guy came up and just started cursing him on the street, saying, "I know who you are, I know who you are." And it gave him the heebie-jeebies and made him feel afraid. I used to ride the Max to work. I'd walk about 7 blocks, ride the bus, walk about 2 blocks, ride the Max, walk about 3 blocks to work. That was my morning routine. 3 days in a row, I got on the Max to go home, and this lady would look at me and go, and I go, ugh. My spirit bore witness with her spirit that she was not a child of God. And the third day I got on and got settled, and she said, "I know who you are, Steve Hansen." And immediately, I knew if she knew, then he knew, and they knew. There's no reason to call out the guy that can't take you out. But you say, "Watch out for him. Watch out for him." Oh, if the enemy knows your name, be sure that God knows your name. I'm a friend of God. I'm not just a casual acquaintance, Brother Eli. I didn't just walk in and say, "Well, maybe kind of, sort of." Does Jesus know who you are? Reminds me of a friend of mine, Brother Keller, from Ohio. And he said, or Indiana. And he said he knew President Reagan. People says, "You know President Reagan?" "Yeah, I've shaken his hand." And then he told us the story. He said they went to the airport where he was landing, and they got right up against the chain link fence, over 6 feet tall, Brother Keller's tall. And when they started coming along, he just stuck his hand over the edge, boosted himself, and Ronald Reagan went by and went boom, 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 and moved on. So yeah, I met the president. Oh yeah, not going to watch that for a while. Ronald Reagan didn't have a clue who Gary Keller was. Not a clue. But oh, when they know your name. You know, when the 7 sons of Sceva tried to cast out devils, what did they say? "Well, Jesus, I know." They said, "By Jesus whom Paul preaches, we cast you out." Now, I want you to get this, and it doesn't say all of this, but it says, and they said, "Jesus I know, and Paul we know, but who are you?" Yeah. And the Bible says they crawled all over the sons of Sceva and stripped their clothes off of them. But then Paul shows up, and guess what? The next place we see them, we don't see them, but we see the people saying, "How did you do that, Paul?" You see, we can claim a relationship with Jesus Christ, but there's something about that water, folks. Well, there's something about that name that we call over people when they go down into that water. There's power in the name of Jesus. Does the enemy know who you are? You're mighty right. He knows who I am. He knows that I have apostolic authority over him in this turf, in the Portland metropolitan area. I've got to keep myself set apart unto him and my eyes on Jesus and my ear attuned unto his spirit, because it doesn't matter the yattering and the noise and the chatter that they're hearing from the enemy and the spirit world. What matters is that I say yes when God says go. That I just step out and realize that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We've seen it happen multiple times where they come into the house of the Lord and tried to cause trouble as demons. But I got a policy. I don't let them talk. Amen. I remember one lady, I went over and talked to her. She was sitting right over there, just right beside Sister Gretchen. Not where you're sitting, but pretty close. When she came in, the ushers went, yeah, I know. In the middle of worship, I just walked over and I looked, leaned over the chair and looked at her and I said, now, first of all, shut up. Second of all, I know who you are. And if you don't leave here, I'm going to cast every devil out of you and it's going to go back to the pit. And she left. Now, she started cussing the ushers out when she hit the steps way outside. But she didn't get a show inside. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 Samuel 2:9 reads, I will guard the feet. He will guard the feet of his saints. But the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He gives strength to his king and shall exalt the horn of his anointed. We are kings and priests to God. You're a chosen generation, a holy royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you should soar forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is there anybody that wants to try to take a step again? Maybe you just need to step forward and say, oh, I got to Wednesday. Where did it go? It's clear over there now. I can't get there anymore because that's gone. Oh, yes, I can, because I'm standing where he placed me. I think it's time to step out in faith and say, okay, here, God, this altar is open. Lord, I want you to order my steps. I can do this with my eyes closed. Yes! Why? I could be blinded by fear, but God's on my side. Oh, almost. It's all right. Let's open our hearts to him. Let's open our spirits to him. Let the Spirit of Almighty touch you. Let him stir you. Let him change you. Let him renew you. Oh, Jesus, thank you for ordering my steps.